something to believe in, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's something to believe in with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello and thank you for inviting me to your homes this beautiful Sunday morning. This is the day the Lord hath made, and the Bible said we could and we should rejoice and be glad therein. Aren't you glad for Jesus Christ this morning? Aren't you glad you got something truly you can believe in, and that something truly is Jesus Christ? Well, you can tell I'm happy in my spirit today, and I hope before the broadcast is over, you get happy with me, okay? Well, let's go right now and do this beautiful song right here for you, and I hope you enjoy this one.
Should you go first, and I would remain just to walk the road alone. I live in memory's garden, dear, with happy days we've known. In spring I'll watch for the roses red, when fades the lilac blue. And in early fall, when the brown leaves fall, I'll catch a glimpse of you. Should you go first, and I would remain to finish with a scroll. No lengthening shadows shall creep in to make this life seem droll. We've known so much of happiness, we've had our cup of joy, but memory is one gift of God that even death cannot destroy. Should you go first, and I would remain for the battles to be fought. Each thing you touched along the way, there'll be a hallow spot. I'll hear your voice, I'll see your smile, and though blindly I may grope, but the memories of your helping hand will buoy me on with hope. Should you go first, and I would remain, one thing I'd have you do, just walk slowly down that long, long path, for soon I'll follow you. I want to know each step that you take, that I may walk the same, for someday down that lonely road, you'll hear me call your name.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. I want to send it out to all your loved ones who have lost a loved one. Martha will soon be gone 1 year and 9 months. It seemed like forever. But anyhow, she is basking in the blessed home of heaven and singing with heaven's choir this morning. So we've got nothing to hang our head down. The Bible said rejoice when they go out, weep when they come in. But, you know, our weeping and rejoicing gets hard sometimes. And it's not an easy life living by yourself. Martha and I like 20 days being 60 years. And that was a long time together. But we enjoyed each other's love and fellowship. So I'm missing her. But anyhow, heaven has gained a great and a beautiful person. So let's just remember her. And I'm going to do one song here for you by her. Hope you enjoy this one. This one said, "It sounds like angels to me."
Sweetheart.
Song, but I can remember when we recorded that song together, and little did we realize that we'd be playing it now, and Martha would be singing with Heaven's Choir. But anyhow, that's a beautiful song, and Martha would have had a birthday next month, which would be October the 10th, and we're going to remember her today in her birthday, and then next month we're going to be featuring more of her songs and talking about her. But anyhow, I know that you love her music, and I love her singing. And when I sit here before the mic and do her songs, it's just like that she's right here with me. So I woke the other night and had a terrible time. It seemed like her presence was close to the room, and I just, every time I woke up, I couldn't sleep. She was so close and so dear to me. So we loved her, but heaven loved her much better. So she went through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, but anyhow, that's all over now. So let's do this song right here for you. And this one said, let's ride out our storm.
You've been in the storm, and it seems like forever, and your nights of confusion, they've been oh so long. Your ship has lost anchor, and the storm's got you drifting. But the night's almost over, so ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. Ride out your storm.
vessel. Just hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. It's like a football game. It's 4th and inches. Go for it. A baseball game is 2 and 3. You got the third count on you, but the next strike is the one that's the most important. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to hit the ball? Are you going to strike out? Well, it's our choice. We can either strike out or hit the ball. And I thank God that you can hit the ball and for Jesus Christ. And I spent a lot of years preaching the gospel, and I've never grown tired of preaching the gospel, because it's the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life, and it'll be the greatest thing that ever happened in your life also. So let's let Martha do this song, and I'm going into the message.
Jonah, in the 3rd verse, you will find the words that God had called Jonah to go to Nineveh, but he rose to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to look at two free phases of Jonah's life. I want to look at the lost phase of his life, and then I want to look at the rejecting the call of God in his life. You see, Jonah was a prophet. In 2 Kings 14 and 25 tells us that Jonah was indeed a prophet of God. But Jonah was doing a very dangerous thing when he tried to run from the obligations of God. You see, we want to always lay everything to the center. We want to talk about those that are running from God, those who have never accepted God. But then again, we find even the prophet of God ran from the obligation of God. I asked a great question today. Which is the greater of the twain? I mean, we've all been guilty of running from the presence of God. Jonah was called to be a missionary to Nineveh. God told him of the wickedness of the city. I don't believe that Jonah was entirely ignorant to the fact that Nineveh was a wicked and bloody city. The Bible creates it as one of the worst cities of our time. But God spoke to Jonah and said, Jonah, go to Nineveh, the great and wicked city, and cry again the sins of that city. You know, people, we've got to have someone crying against sin today. If no one ever talks against sin, or tells you what is right and wrong in the eyes of God. That's what the prophet is for. The prophet is that one who speaks to the people for God, and he declares the articles of God, which are the things that God has spoken to him. And men have got to declare the truth of God. We must speak again the wickedness of the cities today. I admire those who still have the backbone to stand and declare sin to be contaminated. I still praise the person who has the backbone to stand against the sins of the city, because it's very easy today to compromise. But we cannot compromise with the world. If God condemned it, then we can not condone it. If God condemned it, then it must have been evil in the eyes of God. And God was just about to condemn the city of Nineveh. But we see a loving God who was willing and able to give Nineveh, even though they were a very wicked city, he was still going to give them a chance to repent of their sin. He was going to send a prophet. He was going to send a preacher. And how can they preach except they be sent? And how can they hear without a preacher? So the calling came to Jonah. Jonah, rise and go to Nineveh. Cry again the sins of the city. But the Bible said that Jonah rose in his obligation to God to flee in a different direction. We have all been guilty of fleeing from the presence of God when it comes time for us to do the things that God calls us to do. It's not always easy to step out for God. It's not always easy to be a Peter and step out of the boat and try to walk upon the water, because even Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. But sir, you've never got out of the boat. A lot of folks have been called by God to do the great articles of God, but they have, like Jonah, refused to step out by faith and take a hold of God's word and declare the truth of God. A good friend of mine made a statement one time that Tommy can't preach without preaching on sin. Well, it's true that it's sin that destroys. It's sin that contaminates. And it was sin that brought the mind of God to speak to the prophet of Jonah and say, go to Nineveh and preach again the wickedness of the city. You see, the Jews accepted this story as a historical story. Some of the divinity schools will say to you, well, Jonah was only a character put in the story. Well, if that be the fact, and I don't believe that at all, but if that would be the fact, then let me put you in the story as a character. Has God called you to do anything? Has God called you to do something, and you have rebelled against God? You have walked away from the presence of God. You have taken an easy way out. But, sir, there is no easy way out from the calling of God. The Bible said the calling of God is without repentance. And we will be as Jonah. We will end up in a catastrophe. When you try to run from God, the Bible said that God prepared a great whale. And when Jonah got aboard the ship going to Tarsus, it's not all over. It's only begun. Because he's running from the presence of God. He's trying to get away from what God has called him to do. He is running away from the obligations of God. And notice when he got aboard ship, the Bible said that God sent a great storm. And sir, God can send a great storm and turn your boat around. God can send a great storm and turn your life around. When you begin to run from God, sir, you create a havoc between you and God. You may walk away from God, but God is not walking away from you. Notice that Jonah, he became very distressed in chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. Jonah was thrown into the ocean. The great fish came along and swallowed up Jonah. And in verse 1 through 6, you will find that Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly, and he cried by the reasons of his afflictions. You know, God will not place afflictions upon you. But when we try to run from God, then God is not obligated to protect our life, because we have thrown our life open to every affliction that can come and go. Yes, God has a way of getting our attention. He got their attention in the days of Noah. He got their attention in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But it was too late, because God had already declared his judgment upon the nations. But the Lord heard him out of the belly of hell. You may run from God, sir,
but you can't outrun God. He will find you anywhere and everywhere you are. Notice, the Bible says, whither shall I go from thy presence? If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I would make my bed in the loftiest of heaven, thou art there. Whither can I go from thy presence? And if you're running from God, there is no hiding place. It's too low, you can't get under it. It's too high, you can't get over it. It's too wide, you can't get around it. You must come in at the door. Notice that Jonah said in chapter 2 and verse 2, out of the belly of hell I cried. And sir, you can be brought to the very regions of the damned. You can be brought to the place where it's hopeless and helpless. And I think that's what God wants us to see here. He wants us to see the dilemma that Jonah had caused in his life, simply because he is rejecting and rebelling again God. He is rejecting the call of God. He is rebelling again the calling of God to go to Nineveh, the wicked city, and cry again the wickedness of the city. How far do we have to go? How far would we have to go to get away from God? To go too far? Or how far would we have to go to be too far? You see, you may run from God, but you cannot hide from God. Notice in the first beginning of the Bible. When I think of where I came from and how Jesus brought me out, from the life of shame and sorrow, lost in sin without a doubt. With all my heart, I want to praise Him for the love that He gave to me. When the precious hand of Jesus reached way down and lifted me. There in my despair, I tried so hard, yet it seems He didn't hear me. Lost and undone, full of sin and so corrupt, but God's hand reached farther down than I could reach up. Well, like a man locked away in prison, had no one that could go my bail. And every time I sought for freedom, all endeavors only failed. Sin's dark prison, bound in chains of misery. But then the Lord paid me a visit. He unlocked my cell and sets me free. From the depths of the pit, I tried so hard. Oh, but I couldn't touch Him.
Father, as we bring our unseen audience to you, we cry, Father, forgive us because we have sinned. We have sinned and committed sin. But, Father, you are a forgiving God. You're able to forgive and forget. And, Lord, I hope that this morning that there's someone that's pleading the blood. If they are, we're praying for them. We're hoping and praying that there is someone in our unseen audience that is praying and crying out for the blood right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, neighbor, that's our broadcast. We love you. We appreciate you. We need some help on our broadcast. It seemed like that we've fallen short lately. But anyhow, we're trusting God to come to our rescue because we truly need financial help. We are not receiving from people who used to come and send. I don't know whether they're sick or not. I talked to Denise Brown the other day, and she sent her offering, and I appreciate that. I appreciate everyone who prays and pays for this broadcast, but I'm making a plea to you this morning to ask God, what do you want me to do? And whatever he asks you to do, then do it, okay? I thank you, and I pray for you. I want you to pray for me, remember me, and let's always remember the broadcast. Remember, there's some soul that needs help out there, and you and I together bind our hearts together, bind our prayers together, and reach across the airway and reach into their heart. So goodbye, be good. May God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
A miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace.
You can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.
Just a sin.